K-Watchers, it's Leanne.
Hi everyone, it's Juliet. Welcome to the K-Watch Party.
Today we have Lovely Runner episodes 15 and 16. We wrap up the show with two very satisfying episodes. Sanjay's high-pitched earaches turn into a flood of memories of past lifetimes. Our beautiful couple finally reunite and change their story from a sad ending to happily ever after. All good dramas must come to an end, so let's finish up. Hello, Juliet. How are you?
It's a beautiful day.
In fact, give me 1 second.
Ooh.
That's a hard seltzer I just cracked there, guys. It's 4 p.m. on a Sunday. Sometimes at 4 p.m. on a Sunday, you just need a little seltzer to get you by.
Last night, we went to a birthday party for someone in the neighborhood.
An adult birthday party.
Adult birthday party. No kids allowed. I was actually trying really hard not to drink because, you know, I'm on antibiotics and I probably shouldn't. But then I looked it up right before I left and I said, it's kind of okay. So my friend had heard our podcast episode a few weeks ago where we were talking about your husband being in Korea and how he was refusing to buy me the hangover cure that I wanted because he said you could get it on Amazon. So
as a recap, was in Korea. You know, and usually if someone's in Korea, you're like, oh, bring me back something.
Yeah.
So Julia wanted these hangover cure pills. And my husband was like, tell her you can get it on Amazon. It was not nice about it.
The thing is, you can basically get anything on Amazon now that's from Korea. So I was quite offended. But my friend heard that podcast episode and she was going to Korea and she's like, tell me what it is. I'll get it for you. And I told her about this other thing that I had heard about called Condition from Jay Park, who is former idol, but basically he's like a Snoop Dogg of Korea. He's an entrepreneur. He has a soju line. He has this hangover condition sticks and he does a ton of things. So he invests in a lot of things. But these condition sticks are a jelly and they taste like green apple. Ooh. I should give you one now. I don't know if you'll get hungover by a seltzer, but I forgot to take it before I left, but I took it afterwards. And
well, where did you get it from? Where's your current stash from?
Oh, so then my friend brought it.
Oh, she did bring it back.
And so I took it and it was, one, very good. And I woke up and I felt fine. Huh. And normally after I had a few tequila shots and a tequila drink, it felt pretty good.
Okay, so
I don't know what the Koreans have done with these hangover pills because I've taken the American ones. They never work.
And they're quite expensive here.
Yeah, they are. There's one that is really popular.
Is it Z-Biotics?
Yes, that's the one that a few people have recommended to me.
It's like $10 a bottle.
It's quite expensive.
Yeah. The Koreans are good at what they're good at. You know what I'm saying? Like K-pop dramas, they're really good at it. Drinking, they're really good at it. And then hangover cures as a necessity, they've got to be good at it.
You straight up have a soup called hangover soup.
Right.
You know?
It was funny. I saw this TikTok of a girl who is a table waitress in a Vegas club.
Ooh.
And she was saying there's such a difference between West Coast Asians and East Coast Asians.
I saw this. Okay, tell the listeners about it because it was quite good.
And she's such a sweet girl. And she was saying how East Coast Asians, she can see them coming from a mile away. She's like, they're really classy. Like the men are always in a collared shirt and a nice shoe. And the women look like they're like influencers. Like they're very done up. And like fashionable.
Right.
She basically said West Coast Asians are ratchet. And we just do shots.
Yes.
Check.
Always shots.
Always true. She's like, the men are in very like, more like streetwear kind of clothes. And the women.
They were dressed up in kind of like an ABG wear, you know, like short crop type shirts.
ABG stands for what again?
Asian baby girl.
Asian baby girl. Yeah. And I was like, yeah, also check. And probably the West Coast Asians come in with hair looking like mine right now, which is super light. I went straight West Coast ABG party girl this time when I got the balayage finally. I am looking like, yeah, I'm ready to party. Interesting what the drinking culture is different between even just like Korean people in Korea, which is like just like heavily drinking all the time. Yeah. Soju, soju, soju. Right.
That's true. I guess Koreans, they only take shots.
Yeah.
And even when they drink beer, they basically shotgun it.
Right. Or you drop a shot in it and drink it together. It's a very shot culture. culture, and it's definitely translates.
I would love to understand the sociology behind that.
Well, actually, my friend does a lot of business in China, and he was saying that, you know, China is kind of catching up in terms of Western culture, and so they are now starting to drink wine a lot. I mean, this is now the last 10 years, but they're trying to drink more wine because it's Western and cultured, but they'll just drink it as a shot.
Oh my gosh, no.
So, you know, like you can try, oh, I love that. But that's still hilarious. In you to right. just you take, take shots.
The, you could take the girl out of China, but you can't take the... Ratchet out of the girl?
Out of the girl?
Something like that.
Well, I'm glad you're not hungover today.
Yeah, I was definitely worried. But I'm not, so I feel invincible.
How many conditions do you have? Like, what's your sash
She
like?
Gave me two boxes. There are not that many in there, but I will share some with you.
So generous.
Not with your husband. He's not getting any.
Mm-mm, not at all. Well, you do have to be careful while you're drinking because you are on antibiotics. The other person on antibiotics is Sol at the beginning of episode 15.
That's right. I think our lives are paralleling.
Yes, same, same. You also, you know, you met your the love of your life when you were in preschool. You That's had to wait right. 15 to 20 years for him to come back
I
to
had
you
to wait
as well.
22 years.
Mm-hmm. So we ended episode 14 on the Ferris wheel. In 2023, in this lifetime, Sanjay doesn't know Sol at all because she went back in time, made sure they never met. She avoided him for 15 years in order to save his life. That's where we are. On this Ferris wheel, he is telling her, I'm drawn to you. I can't explain it. I'm having weird dreams. I have these weird feelings ever since I read your movie pitch. She's just constantly bitching him out, being like, rude as hell and just like, why are you sticking around? Why do you have to do this movie? The carriage shakes. She ends up in his arms. That's how we ended episode 14.
Well, and right as it ended, she saw the S necklace that he had gifted her in the previous, what should we call it? Lifetime?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Yeah, in this exact Ferris wheel, he had gifted it to her. So right. when she sees it on him, her eyes are wide as saucers.
It shakes her. Because she has been trying to control fate and she's realizing that there is no controlling fate. Fate is a beast on its own and it'll come after you. So we start episode 15. They're on this Ferris wheel. She's just very sick. She's like kind of unresponsive.
She falls asleep.
He carries her out in his arms. He brings her to his house where he's gotten her an IV. He's definitely like taking care of her in a way that's very tender. That you necessarily wouldn't just for a stranger.
For a stranger, because he doesn't know her.
Yeah. He's putting a blanket on her and she grabs his hand in her sleep.
And one lone tear drops.
Sanjaya. In her sleep, she's calling out his name. He's very moved by this. He makes sure everybody in his apartment is quiet so she can sleep and rest. Even the manager's like, why? And he can't quite explain it, I don't think. Sol wakes up. She's shocked to be at his house. She starts bitching at him again. I have to say, what is the term in Korean? Chonsori?
Chansori.
Oh, my gosh.
It's just nagging.
There are certain things that are very Korean, like taking shots all day long.
Yeah, the other chansori thing. Is just like also embedded in our culture. It's the deep nagging. In our bloodlines.
Yeah. She's just nagging at him. Like, how could you bring me here? You could have brought me home. Like, all these other options. He's like, bro. I called up my doctor friend in the middle of the night. I got you an IV. What about a thank you? And I was like, yes. Put her in her place. He just wants to share a meal with her. He just wants to feed her breakfast. There's some great interactions between the two of them here. Like, he says to her, you should eat. That's why you get sick and pass out. He's, you know, he's like, be better to yourself. I feel like you need that.
Somebody needs some to chansori me.
Yeah, we really do. Actually, but you were already trying to take care of yourself.
I get a lot of chansori in my life from a lot of people.
He's been trying to convince her this whole time to stay at the company and work with him on the movie. He's clearly just trying to keep her close. She keeps wanting to quit to stay away from him.
She rejects him in a really harsh way. So he's trying to shame her a little bit. Like, don't you have a dream? Don't you have a dream to make a movie? And she retorts, actually, I have a dream for the person that I love to live for a very long time. And I think here I realize she thinks that she's the curse. You know, if he's anywhere near her, that he may die. So she wants to avoid that. And she thinks that that is the way to give him happiness.
He straight up says, what the heck does that have to do with work?
He's not wrong.
Yeah, this is a great response. He's like, what does your love life have to do with staying at work? She says, it's related. Mind your own business. Mind your own beeswax, Sanjay. She's so rude to him, and he still sticks around.
But I love this Sanjay. I think he's a little spicy. He stands up for himself. He's not as, like, meek as I felt like he was in some of the other episodes.
I know.
The other lifetimes.
Yes. He's also, like, kind of tricking her. He doesn't really trick her much in the past lives. Like, he hid her shoes in his apartment.
Right.
Because he
wanted her to stay for breakfast.
And he knew she'd run away. So he kind of tricks her and hides her shoes from her. I also just love watching Sanjay so confused by her. He kind of doesn't know what to do with himself. He'll find any reason to see her. She leaves her antibiotics at his house. And so he is, like, desperate to bring it over just so she can see her. And then, like, he's practicing in the car what to say to her. He's just very on unsteady ground, and it's fun to watch.
We see a lot of flashes throughout this episode. Mm-hmm. And then he goes, is this deja vu? And I was thinking, is that what deja vu is? Do you think that, like, maybe we are passing through, like, different lifetimes or a parallel life? I don't know. I mean, I've experienced deja vu a lot, and I've always been very confused by it.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm totally of like, oh, yeah, we're living like parallel lives and parallel universes. And deja vu is definitely us crossing over multiple consciousnesses. Yeah. No, 100%. That's what it
right?
is.
Right? That must be. Oh, I looked it up, and it says some researchers have associated chronic/frequent pathological deja vu with neurological or psychiatric illness. So that rings true for both of us.
They say it's actually most likely to happen to people who are 15 to 25 years old, which I think is true because I feel like I used to have a lot of deja vu. Yes, I don't have it anymore.
Well, if you look at Wikipedia, which I trust wholeheartedly, it says people who travel often, frequently watch films, or frequently remember their dreams are also more likely to experience deja vu than others. Maybe it's also like an active imagination, active brain.
Or you're getting a lot of sensory inputs.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what Sanjay thinks is happening to him with all these memories that are coming back is deja vu. In the scene where he has to give the medicine back to Seoul, she's outside with a stroller with her nephew.
Yes. She's trying to get her nephew to go to sleep, and he comes up and he's...
And we've all been there, haven't we?
Oh, gosh.
We? Strolling oh my goodness. A kid around in the cold to try to get
PTSD
him to sleep.
PTSD watching that. Oh. So Sanjay comes up acting like he knows how to take care of babies. The baby does calm down and then immediately throws up all over Sanjay. So naturally, he's got to go to her apartment, take off his shirt, take a shower, Woo! Be shirtless.
Thank you, writers, for one last steamy, shirtless Sanjay scene. This thirsty mama was here for it. It was like prayer hands emoji. When he came out of that steamy shower, I was like, thank you, Lord.
Yeah, they did a beautiful job. It was very steamy and looked like he was emerging from some porn scene or something.
Well, they also made it comedic because an empty conditioner bottle gets thrown out.
And like, he used the entire thing?
Yeah. She's like, I just bought this at Costco. Oh, speaking of prayer hands, my coworker told me that prayer hands emoji is actually a high five emoji.
Oh, yeah. There was some controversy around that.
But my whole thing is the prayer hands emoji, you see like two pinky fingers, and like on a high five, you're going across your body. So you're high-fiving someone on the opposite hand, no? So it should be opposite. Right, like if I high-fived you.
That's true. You're doing your right hand and my right hand typically.
And so it should be pinky.
That is a very good point.
Okay, so I'm back to it's a prayer hands emoji.
I like the prayer hands emoji.
Yes.
Because high fives, I feel like there are a lot of other emojis that you could use to emote high five or like good job.
Right.
But it was controversial. Like people were writing Apple about it. Everybody was arguing about it.
You know, woke people are like, oh, prayer hands.
How dare you bring religion into my phone?
Yes.
Yeah, so, and then they're in her apartment. And then, of course, she's so she's such a prude that she can't have anyone in her family see that he's there.
And well, he is half naked.
I mean, he is.
That's hard to explain.
But he's also like, what? Did we do anything wrong? So they hide in the room together.
Yeah. She throws him in there. He's like, what's going on? He's like, aren't we business partners? Man, there's no word in Korean for business partners other than business partners.
There is, but I think that's their way of sounding sophisticated because they can speak English.
I see. Literally just sound out every single syllable.
That's like my kids. They can't really speak Korean, but they'll always be like, what is this in Korean? Like, for example, they'll be like, what is book in Korean? Book? Like, they just like romanize everything. It's so funny.
When I do it, it's racist.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, so she throws him in there. She's like, okay, wait 10 minutes and you can leave. He's like, what are we going to do for 10 minutes? He's just sleazy and hitting on her, and I love it. He sees up the wind-up watch on her desk, the very important wind-up watch from mm-hmm. many of the old lifetimes. He ends up like kind of breaking it, and he takes it with him, slips it into his pocket. On the way out, she's trying to sneak him out now. Everyone's asleep. She grabs his hand and he says, you grab my hand so naturally. And he takes it as a good sign. Like, oh, she actually feels affectionate toward him. But for her, it's almost like muscle memory.
Right.
She's realizing she can't help but feel familiar with him after all of the history they've had. So again, we have kind of like fate pushing them back together.
Yeah. I mean, even that clock, right? All of these things that had disappeared somehow are making its way slowly back into his life.
We have a diversion from Sanjay and Seoul's love story with some amazing bad boy Taesung and Sanjay energy, and they come together on cop business. Taesung needs Sanjay's car's black box because he's looking for Creepy Cabby. There should be footage on his car of Creepy Cabby. They need the license plate number. I mean, well, you know, again, Creepy Cabby is still lurking. He's in the background. But Taesung is now the one on the job and he's coming after him.
Mm-hmm. And it's their rivalry is back. Like the original rivalry that they had when Seoul was in high school and she was in love with Taesung and Sanjay was so jealous. And the two of them were always trying to out-muscle each other. And now they had this really beautiful reckoning through all the different lifetimes. And now they're back. They're basically like 16-year-old boys again.
Yes.
And it's hilarious because they're drinking coffee or some kind of tea. And
it's tea. There's a lot of tea in this show.
There's a lot of tea.
In a lot of dramas and in Korea, it's just coffee, coffee, coffee.
Yeah.
But in this show, he asks her to go to tea on the bridge. They're always having tea. I wonder if there's like propaganda that everyone's maybe so hopped up on coffee.
Everyone is obsessed with iced Americanos.
They call it what?
I mean, they used to call it but I heard there's a new phrase.
Oh.
I don't know what it is.
In the lobby of my in-laws' tower where they live, there is a Starbucks, a like more local coffee dessert shop, and a Coffee Bean. All three of them are in the same lobby.
Wow.
And they're jam-packed all the time. And so just filled with people.
Maybe they have some pressure from the tea industry right now because coffee has taken over.
Yeah.
So they're trying to make tea cool again.
Yes. Well, the tea was not cool between Taesung and Sanjay.
That's right.
In this scene.
It was piping hot. And so they were trying to look like the man by downing it while In-hyuk was dying and suffering because it was so hot. And he's like, what's going on? It's so hot. How are you guys drinking this? The two guys were burning their esophaguses, but that was their way to prove their manhood.
Right. But also because Taesung keeps calling Seoul, Uri Seoul.
Like my or our soul.
Which is what? Like an affectionate way to call somebody?
Yeah. It's like, you know, like, oh, my girl, basically.
So you would call even like a friend, Uri Seoul. Like it's not has to be a boyfriend, girlfriend.
Yeah. I think what he's saying is like, she's dear kind of like, you. She's dear to me. I know her. You don't know her at all.
Right.
He's creating that boundary, that wall between them. But also Taesung at some point, bad boy, says to Seoul, I feel a little bit weird around you.
Right, like feelings are coming up.
Yeah, and he's like, I've never really felt this way. I'm not really sure why, but I keep thinking about you.
It feels like everybody has now been triggered. Maybe this pitch of this movie in their story of a past lifetime going into the world has triggered like all of them to start having these weird feelings. And so, yeah, it feels like Taesung is also starting to get a little bit of these old Lifetime feelings.
Right.
And he doesn't know where it's coming from. There's a work dinner between Seol and her boss, and Sunjay and his managers. Sunjay tells the group, wouldn't the ending be better if the main characters fall in love again?
And then, I mean, this conversation is really the crux of the entire show. It's very meta. And he's like, she had told him previously, I want the person I love to live a long life. And he's like, but human beings are mortal. Gonna die anyways. Isn't it basically what we said last week? Isn't it better to have loved than not loved at all? And she's like, no. This person went through so much to untangle their fate. You're basically undoing all of my work.
Yeah. She's like, more like, bitch, no. She's so mean to him. She's leaving and Sunjay follows her out. He's just out to flirt with her. He says, I'm smitten with you. I don't know why. It's like a Kobeck again in this lifetime. She says, I love someone else. That's why I can't be with you. I've been rude to you, but please live a long and happy life. Girl is saying her final goodbyes.
Yes.
And he can feel it. She's really sad about it. She goes home. Haemoni Granny is awake at home.
She's our, what would Haemoni be? She's like, she's not a shaman. She's not a fortune teller, but she's like the connector between the past and the future and the many different lifetimes.
Yeah, I kind of see her as like a spirit guide.
Mm.
And she's also kind of like riding the timelines, you know?
Yeah.
It's like a roller coaster for her. She's constantly seemingly going back and forth in her dementia.
Yes. I mean, maybe this is what dementia feels like.
She says to Seol, like, what are all these memories in our lives? Like, they're not just in and out. They may, like, float in and out of your brain, but they get stuck in your soul. We end episode 15. Sunjay is kind of in his mind hearing notes to Rain Shower, the song, the eclipse song that had tied them together across many lifetimes in the past. It hasn't been written in this world except that Seol wrote the lyrics.
In the script for her movie.
Right. So he writes a song for the movie. It's very meta. Seol hears a demo of it in a cafe and we hear the song again. He's singing it on the piano. I mean, look, they didn't change the production even a little bit. Like, he plays the exact same song.
I mean, listen, if this had happened in real life, he'd be in a psychiatric hospital.
Right. That's true. I mean, I would have liked an acoustic version.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something a little bit different. So finally, we get to the climax of episode 15.
Wouldn't it be funny if he had rapped it? That would have been even better.
Everybody, Juliet loves a rap.
I do love a rap and a rapper.
She rapped at her own wedding.
Okay, well, let's not talk about that. That's too embarrassing.
Classic. It was so good. It brought the house down. In this climax, Crazy Cabby, finally, we are like circling back to Crazy Cabby. Taesung is in a car chase with him.
But meanwhile, Sunjay is all the, like, his head is glitching. Something's going on. All these memories are flooding back. He's getting this migraine. He walks into the middle of the street.
It's starting to snow. He's starting to remember everything. It's like flooding back into his brain all at once. Like a dam has been broken and it's all coming through. And he just runs into the street.
Doesn't he know what goes on in the streets of Seol?
You cannot run into the street.
You will get killed.
No one's stopping for you.
In fact, there was a big news thing recently, like last week. Somebody ran through the intersection and killed 9 people.
In Korea?
In Korea, in Seol.
Yeesh.
But you have been talking about this, how people don't stop. And I was unclear if this person was drinking, but I was like, that is wild. So scary.
He is going into the street just as Taesung and Crazy Cabby's cars are heading right at him. Like, Crazy Cabby in his taxi is about to run down Sunjay. And just as we think he's about to mow him down, I mean, the cabby is like literally growling. He's like, there's no explanation for what is up with this guy.
That was, I would say, a real red herring that, well, I guess it wasn't red herring because it played very intimately into this storyline, but it was so oddly placed.
Yeah, and if this Crazy Cabby is the worst of this drama, I'll take it. Taesung, in this lifetime, saves Sunjay. He crashes his car into the Crazy Cabby's car so that Sunjay doesn't get hit.
But Sunjay faints, falls back onto the road.
The music plays. the montage of memories flash of all the times he ran into her, all the umbrellas, the Kobex, the kisses, his watery plunge to death.
Mm-hmm.
In his voiceover, he says, if there is such a thing as fate, one you can't change, then yes, every lifetime I fall in love with you, Sola.
Oh my God.
And then we get the end of the episode, his eyes close. But like, he didn't get hit by the car, so what is he doing on the ground?
Oh no.
Are we, like, is his brain resetting from all that memory input?
I mean, he has to have a TBI, a traumatic brain injury at this point.
Yeah, there's definitely CTE happening because you can't just like get all these new memories and just be normal. I mean, he's in shock. So that's how we end episode 15. Episode 16.
Let me just say, episode 16, I cried a lot.
Did you?
And you know, Queen of Tears, I told you that I could not cry, maybe because I was too focused on taking notes, but nothing really triggered a lot of emotion as I was watching it. I did enjoy it, but I wasn't like, oh my gosh, multiple times.
Wow.
It was a great ending.
It was a great ending. I do think, and we can talk about this in our recap, this show was so full of heart that that's why you cry. And yes. I think Queen of Tears was so well produced.
Yes.
Almost overly produced.
Yep.
And I everybody agree. Like kind of just was like stuck to the script.
Yeah. It felt like really good acting, but not, it didn't really hit at the heart. It didn't feel like I connected so much with what was happening.
Yeah, and I think a lot of this show is based on sacrifice.
Mm.
Sol and Sanjay sacrifice a lot.
Yeah.
They miss a lot of years with each other and against like fate, you know? And so I feel like when two lovers are ripped apart because of fate, it feels a lot more tragic than when two lovers are ripped apart because of miscommunication.
Yeah, or because of money issues.
Yeah, which is a lot of what Queen of Tears was about.
I also think the relationships in this drama, like with her grandmother, with Taesung and even Sanjay, those relationships felt very nuanced and very real.
Yeah, authentic.
Authentic, yeah.
They really built a world here that we can find nits to, but I really felt like I lived in this world with them together. So we start episode 16 with the crash of Taesung and Crazy Cabby. Crazy Cabby escapes again. Taesung goes after him on a foot chase. And in an ironic twist of fate,
the truck of doom comes for Creepy Cabby. And he falls into the water just as Sanjay had in the previous lifetime.
And just as he had hit Sol into the water in her original accident.
Yes.
So it all comes full circle.
Finally, a truck of doom that was righteous. Truck of dooms in most Korean dramas are hired hitmen.
To get after our leads, our heroes.
Right. But this one, finally, they used in a way that served justice.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Goodbye, Crazy Cabby. We hardly knew ye. We see Crazy Cabby fall into the river. It's juxtaposed with an image of Sanjay floating in the water. And then Sol being like, Sanjay, waking him up.
Mm-hmm.
So then we see his eyes open. Sanjay is in the hospital. He rips out all the tubes. He's basically remembered everything. He starts running out of the hospital. Sol is in a taxi. She hears that Crazy Cabby is dead. Hooray. And she also sees that Sanjay's in the hospital. So she gets out of the cab and starts running. It's snowing.
Yes.
I see where she's running. She's running towards the hospital. Where the hell is Sanjay running?
He just like gets up and he's goes. Running like a crazy person.
But he is fulfilling his promise from the past. He had said to her, he will run to her in the future.
Oh my gosh.
And he sure does.
And then they run towards each other and they meet.
He says to her, why are you running? Why are you crying? Right, he every time they see each other and they meet, it's been on the Hangam Bridge. He always starts with, why are you crying? Is mm-hmm. it because of me? Why are you running? He's always caring for her. And it's just like so much uniformity in this show. And mm-hmm. I love it.
And then he tells her, Sola, I remember everything.
He takes her in a big hug. When you were alone, did you cry like that over the guy who forgot you? Do you want to change the ending? And he says, sorry, I'm late.
Oh, he is late. He's 15 years late.
They kiss in the falling snow. This was super romantic, except I was very distracted by the background.
Did you? Okay, no. I don't know.
They were standing in front of the most hideous Christmas scene. It was like, had like fat snowman angels, blue tinsel. Maybe it's because, again, it's a kiss scene, so I rewatch it over and over.
Oh my gosh, yeah, I don't even remember this scene.
It was very lit up behind them. Go back and look. It's like the most hideous blue tinsel Christmas scene you've ever seen. Truly hideous, very distracting. Either way, our two leads are back. And then the rest of episode 16 is just them making up for lost time.
So it turns out that he bought the S necklace because he saw it in a window and he was drawn towards it. There was something that was pulling him. He was, I think, crying at the jewelry mm-hmm. store.
Right. So his brain didn't remember her. His heart did. And yeah, episode 16, he just follows her around. He's flirting with her while she's trying to work. There's a big scene. He takes her back to his place so she can work in peace. When she's done, she thinks he's asking her to stay overnight.
Right.
Actually, he was talking on the phone with In-hyuk.
Yeah. But without looking, she's like, okay, fine, I will stay over. And then she turns around and he's on the phone.
So she's embarrassed. She wants to flee the scene. He stops her. What do you want to do? Oh, I just want to watch a movie, eat food, talk. He says, but first. And then they have a big makeout session mm-hmm. in the hallway, up against the wall again. They wake up the next morning in each other's arms. They're always like so fully dressed. They're straight up wearing wool sweaters.
Yeah, very itchy.
But they have 2023 sex. I mean, this scene made me think they should date in real life.
They are a very good couple. He is insanely good looking, yes. But like in a anime kind of way. And she, though I don't think that she's like the goddess of Korea, she's so cute.
And he's on Harper's Bazaar Korea right now. Oh, wow. You should check out these photos. He looks really good.
I do love, though, that they made it clear that all of the lifetimes that they gave us were very confusing because Sanjay and Taesung were sitting drinking again, almost like a recreation of that original scene where they were at Norebang and they were getting wasted together. And Sanjay's like, okay, I'm the ex-boyfriend. You're the current boyfriend. I mean, you're the ex-boyfriend. I'm the current boyfriend. And Taesung's like, I never dated her. And Sanjay suddenly is like, oh, right, right. Because he realized that was the previous lifetime. In this lifetime, he's never dated. And I was like, thank you for acknowledging how confusing this was.
Yes. Sanjay is the audience in this scene because none of us can keep these timelines straight, and neither can Sanjay. This time, Sanjay is the only one who gets wasted, and he brings Taesung into a big hug. Sincerely thanks him for catching the crazy cabbie because really has released their fate so that him and Seol could be together. Mm. It really wrapped up this storyline between Taesung and Sanjay so nicely with a great thank you. The other big things that happen, it was just a cute scene, Seol's nephew's first birthday party. They do it kind of like traditional style. It's at Sanjay's dad's barbecue spot, but it's like very traditional looking. And this is how we did my daughter's first birthday. We did it in Korea. It was like kind of at this kind of restaurant that's like very old school. They do this in Chinese culture too, but in Korea, on the first birthday, they lay out items such as like a calculator, a pen, money, a ball, right? Like modern items.
Modern items. I think the traditional was a brush, rice, thread, money. Well,
so they have watercress here because one of the waitresses is like, why is there watercress? And then the Sanjay's dad explains like the meaning of watercress. But that was at my daughter's. We didn't have anything modern. Yeah, it was like.
Oh, you didn't have anything modern.
No, it was that. It was like brush painting brush. It was like an old ass scroll. We had watercress.
That is
like a huge leafy watercress. I'm like, what the hell is
that? What was the meaning? I didn't catch that when he was saying it.
I think it was like a long, healthy life.
I see.
Yeah, my kid must have been so confused. There were just things she's never seen before. Yeah.
What did she pick?
I think she picked the brush.
Oh.
Yeah.
So she will be scholarly.
She does love writing too.
Yes.
What did your kids pick?
My older one picked a ball.
Okay.
Golf ball.
Oh.
My husband was very happy about that. And then my younger one picked the microphone, which it is the like so perfect for both of them.
Yeah.
I picked the thread, which I think means long life.
Oh, good.
Maybe not a healthy life, but a long one.
That's going to be full of antibiotics.
But where I cried was when Sanjay's dad was peering in to the celebration because he obviously wasn't an attendee. He was just the restaurant owner. So he's watching Sanjay, who had made the surprise appearance. Everybody was enamored with him and he is smiling and laughing. And there was something about how they muted the noise because there was a, he was looking through the glass door. And the dad was getting a little teary-eyed because he's like, I am so happy for how happy he is. And he found someone that has, that will make him happy. I haven't seen him smile like that in a long time. And I just bawled.
Really?
There was just something so tender about the way that his dad was looking at him. And, you know, also because he felt like Sanjay hadn't maybe been that happy throughout his life. And to be able to see that someone else was bringing him joy just made me so emotional. After the party, Sanjay's saying goodbye to Seol's family. And the granny stays back for a few minutes and grabs Sanjay's hand. I cried again.
Okay.
Back to back crying. And I'm tearing up thinking about it now, but she, in kind of like a clear-headed way, looks at him and says, have a good long life now. You know, and she's been this spirit guide for them. And she says, be happy and laugh. And, you know, I'm a very like sentimental person. So hearing that as a reminder too, and it coming from an older person made me reflect on all of these things about my life and about my grandparents and about just being like available and present to enjoy all mm-hmm. of the things. It was so beautiful.
It was beautiful. And I think I've seen that he actually, the actor, cried in the scene, but it wasn't in the script because he was so moved by her words here.
Yeah.
And he was reminded of his grandmother. Granny, also, there's a scene where Seol and Sanjay, post-coital in bed, are wondering where the watch went.
Yes.
And they show that the granny has the watch, the digital watch.
Yes.
That Sanjay said he lost a long time ago in this lifetime, which has not been used as a...
Since he died falling into the off the cliff, it has not made an appearance.
Right. And so in this lifetime, it was just a watch because he never died in this one, so it never became a time machine. She's carrying it with her, the granny. Throws it in Chong-ge-chong.
But it's a zero on it.
So what the hell, granny?
It almost seems like she's been clear-headed this entire time and she's playing a granny with dementia so she can move everyone's fate around.
Yeah, she's the mastermind. She's a mastermind of this? That was a very touching scene. After the party, Sanjay takes Seol onto a river boat cruise. It's a very drama trope, the river boat cruise. We get a call back to the second episode. He wants to Quebec to her in front of the photo booth. And he's thinking Quebec, Quebec. And she says, Obeck one. And then he stumbles. He says, Quebec one. So cute. This time he's thinking, propose, propose. And this time she's just asking for a selfie. Pose?
Pose.
Pose. And he's like, propose?
Oh, there are so many cheesy hijinks. But it makes this drama so special.
Yes. She even calls him out on it. She's like, oh. You're not going to, like, do the thing in the dramas, right? Where they, like, have fireworks and the friends come out with a cake and they sing and it's a proposal.
And Yin-Yuk is going to come out with rose petals. You're not going to do that, are you?
So lame.
Totally. And then all of it happens.
Yes. He, like, hides her from it. Totally ruins his plan. He's realizing this is not a typical girl.
Yeah.
This is a girl who saved his life, has been waiting 15 years. She needs something much more special than the cheesy drama trope proposal. She tells him actually on this riverboat cruise, she's taking time off to direct a short film. And he's so supportive of her. This is kind of the only character development we see for her, actually. Like, you know, I talked last week about how I just kind of didn't see the whole point of all of this time travel because she's not really learning a lesson and she didn't really like gain anything from it.
And her life has really not changed at all in all of the lifetime.
Right. I mean, she was super happy in the first one. She was in a wheelchair, but she was super happy.
Yeah.
But in that life, she didn't get to be in a movie production company.
Because they were non-ADA, I guess it would be KDA compliant.
Right. They couldn't accommodate her wheelchair.
Yeah.
And so this life, she's changed it for better for herself because now she gets to pursue that part of her dream. They walk down a cherry blossom lane. This is the last scene. And like in their college era, they start catching cherry blossoms together.
Oh, it was very cute. And then his hand is under hers, I think.
Right, because they clasp it together.
Yeah.
She opens it.
And then the petals are flying away, and underneath is an engagement ring.
Yeah.
It was sweet because it was also intimate. It was just the two of them. And
it's a reenactment of a scene they had done together already in the college timeline.
And then they both have a flash forward of their wedding.
Yes.
A vision. they are now fortune tellers.
Yeah.
And then they both are like, oh my gosh, did you, the same thing happened to you. I was like, okay, that was a little too much. I didn't love that it had to end like that. But I also love that it was just a flash of the wedding. It wasn't a huge production because they could have dragged it on and like, oh, they had babies and then blah, 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 you know?
Yeah. Like, we're leaving it to the imagination. These two have happily ever after. That's it. They end on a hug under cherry blossoms.
Yeah. You know, I may forget everything that has happened in this drama, but it will live in my soul forever.
Oh, I know. Me too. I will never forget what will happen in this drama because I will be rewatching it. This is on my rewatch list. So we're done. It's over. We're both very sad. Looking back, what was your favorite Seol and Sunjae era?
It had to be college for me.
Oh, interesting.
I think because so many things felt possible at that point. And I think why this drama also has resonated so well with us is because you live through many nostalgic eras of our own lives. And for me, college was just like a great time. It also felt like so many things can happen. Who knows what the future holds? I feel like the current era, the like older, more chic, sexy era, I liked, but also it didn't feel as exciting for me.
It didn't have the like opportunity brimming, yeah. Right?
It feels predictable. Mm-hmm. What about you?
Oh, I like the last era.
Oh, interesting.
I like the chic era because, you know, all of the past lifetimes, he already had a crush on her.
Mm-hmm.
And she also already had a crush on him because she knew him as Sunjae the idol. In this lifetime, this last era, the chic era, well, he was falling in love with her as an adult.
Yeah.
In this era, she is actively being so rude to him, but he is finding so much in her that he loves. I like that tension of this era. And they look the best in this era.
They really, I mean, they look so good. The one thing, though, that I didn't like maybe across all the eras is that I don't know why they liked each other. You know, it was for him, even in the chic era, it was like, I'm drawn towards you. But he didn't really know her.
Right.
She was being so mean to him. He still liked her. But being practical, I'm thinking, you need to like know who she is. You need to know what she's like in difficult situations. Like, don't fall in love for lust.
Way to take the romance out of it. You know, I do think, though, when they're younger, she's a very sweet, bubbly, fun person.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's why he likes her. And he's a very caring, solid guy. And I think that's also what she falls in love with in their younger eras as well.
If you could pick one character that you loved in this drama, who would it be?
I pick Sunjae above everybody.
Oh, what? Mm-hmm.
He showed the most nuance to me.
Mm-hmm.
She was very bullheaded from the beginning of what she was meant to do and how she was going to do it. And Sunjae, I feel like, actually matured.
He did.
And learned lessons.
Yeah.
And had ups and downs in friendships and ups and downs in romantic interests. Yes. And I just feel like he really evolved the most in the show. And I think he was just so easy to look at.
Yeah, he really was.
And really helped.
I really liked Taesong. He was a star for me. He was kind of a late blooming star. But
I think he was so magnetic. Like anytime he's on screen, you're just like, yes, this guy.
And I think he did a great job showing his own development through the years. It was really funny because I was frantically trying to finish today. And so my daughter was home with me and she was just, you know, doing her usual thing, just running around doing whatever. And then she saw Taesong and she stopped.
No.
She's like, what is this?
Taesong as a cop.
Isn't that funny?
That is so funny. And your daughter doesn't stop for anybody.
Oh, she doesn't.
Oh, except yesterday when I was pointing at something behind her. Yeah. I was pointing at my lime tree and she was standing in the line of my pointing. And she straight up says to me, don't point at me. I was like, bitch, I am not pointing at you.
I'm sorry.
Your husband was so nice. He's like, well, you know, Auntie Liam was pointing at the tree behind you. I was like, uh-uh.
Yeah.
I was like, no, I wasn't pointing at you.
Tell her off. My gosh, this girl needs to be put in her place.
Well, anyway, she was stopped by Taesong.
That's right.
And I do not blame her. Is there anything you think Seol should have done differently?
Who? That's a tough question.
I think they got a lot of heat, the show did, over episode 13, which is her pretending to be 2008 Seol and leaving Sunjae on the train and like doing the whole thing by herself. I think they got a lot of heat for that. if there's one moment, that is the moment to change, I think.
Because they felt like she was...
It's out of character. And like so convenient to the story. More than actually what her character would do.
Mm. Yeah. And I mean, we said this last week that she was doing that without a plan. What did she want to do out there alone with this guy who was very dangerous? But I also wonder if Koreans just don't like it when women get to take manners into their own hands.
To give them the credit of the doubt that it's really because it was a plot hole that didn't, and like, you know, fast forwarding in time, which is a thing that hadn't happened yet.
That was a little ridiculous. I think I would change the way Seol addressed each of these lifetimes. Like, I think we saw her look really confused, be confused, not have a very clear direction of what she was doing. It was fine as a viewer, but when you think a little bit too much about it, mm-hmm. it really made no sense.
I would have also had her, you know, write more things down. Write down some notes for the 2008 gal that's going to come back.
Yeah.
To help her with her journey of trying to set things right. Overall, what are your thoughts about the show?
Overall, 10 out of 10. Same. I really loved it.
Me too. It made me fall in love with dramas again, I have to say.
Yes, me too. This is the kind of drama I could binge.
Oh, yeah. It was funny. It was sweet. Crazy chemistry between the leads. It had high school.
Yeah.
College. Yeah. Adult life. It didn't drag very much in the middle. It always drags in the middle. This one didn't drag too much.
And I mean, there were a bit of filler episodes, but even those were enjoyable. And I feel like the hijinks, normally, like when we were watching Marry My Husband, the hijinks were just off the wall, unnecessary. Yeah. This was lighthearted and very fun and maybe didn't always push the plot forward, but I could still sit and laugh and have a good time.
Yeah, and I think a lot of Marry My Husband was also just like slow and quiet. I don't think the direction was good. The direction here is very fast. There's always music that matches the tone. It was just always going at a great clip.
And Korean dramas, love they this. Do that thing where like you're gazing into each other's eye and then they pan like 15 times to each person and you're like, hurry it up. This, they would do it like pan two times and then something hilarious would happen.
Exactly. Or they would kiss.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot. We're also just like less pent up in this drama.
Exactly. They satisfied the itch a few times.
Yes. They got it on. And that's what we need to see in our dramas. We talked last week about The Lake House and how it was adapted from a Korean movie. If you could adapt this into an American drama or movie, who would you cast in the leading roles?
This is going to make me sound like such a millennial, but it makes me think about Notebook.
Oh, yeah.
I love Ryan Gosling and Rachel McAdams together. It broke my heart when they broke up.
I know.
And I think the two of them have very similar type of energy as Seol and Sanjay did. And I would love to see them do this.
But 15 years ago.
Yeah, I know.
I loved the Netflix rom-com called Set It Up from a few years ago. Oh, gosh,
yes. I remember. We had gone on a girls' trip, and she was talking about it incessantly. Incessantly. And I was like, what could this be about? But it was so cheesy.
Okay, someone say it has started the resurgence of rom-coms back in the zeitgeist. It had been years since a good rom-com had come on. Set It Up, some would say.
Someone being you.
Yes.
It went straight to Netflix, by the way.
It was made for Netflix. The criticism of Set It Up is that it was like so Netflix algorithmed. Mm. Like it was algorithmed to be a rom-com. Mm-hmm. But in that way, it really hit home.
But it was also a very easy, lighthearted.
So breezy. Watch. But the chemistry between those two, I feel like, have this like.
Who was it?
Glenn Powell, who is huge now. Glenn Powell, who was just in Top Gun. He's in this new movie, Twisters. He is in The Hitman that was just on Netflix. I mean, he is such he's like the hottest young rising actor right now. And then Zoe Deutsch, who also just like spunky, very similar to Seol energy, just like spunky and fun and young and lighthearted. So anyway, those would
that is
be my
so
pick.
Interesting because, you know, I thought it was Taye Diggs and Lucy Liu who were the leads. I mean, I watched it because you were raving about it. And in my memory, when I just asked you, I was like, I thought it was Taye Diggs and Lucy Liu. And I just looked him up and they were basically the B storyline.
Yeah. So whoops. You just did not watch that
I
movie
think
properly.
I was more attracted to them than I was to Glenn Powell and Zoe
You have a very elder millennial.
Yes, I do.
Response. I have a very younger millennial response. Anyway, we are so sad that the show is over. We kind of don't know what to do with ourselves now. I'm not sure I'm ready to move on. I'm not sure there's anything that's going to surpass this ever again. No. But we will have to keep trucking. That was it for us on The Lovely Runner. Another drama under our belt.
We did not want to venture into drama land. And now we're on our third one. And we're deep. We love this.
We are waiting for the next reality show. But they are not coming. Until then, I guess we're just going to be doing more dramas. Thanks for sticking with us. We love this show. We love you guys. We will be back next week. We'll let you know what we're going to do. Not quite sure. We're bouncing some ideas back and forth. It might be a rewatch, which would be new for us.
That would be fun.
That would be fun. So we'll talk to you guys next week.
Bye.